Thank the Lord you're back. Some of you are feeling better, and so thank the Lord for that also. First, before I say anything else, I'd like to say that most of you probably already know that Brother Larry Russell passed yesterday, and we're still kind of in shock of that. It's, usually when somebody's been really sick or something, it doesn't come as such a surprise, but Larry had been doing so well, and it breaks our heart, but Larry's in heaven with the Lord now, and I know Miss Carol will really be hurting with Larry going home, but God is good, and he's gracious, and he knows each one of us his time. And like I told the ladies back there this morning, tomorrow it could be us. It could be one of us. And so we just thank God for his comfort and for his strength. Larry, did you want to say something? Yeah, did you raise your hand? Okay. So with that being said, please remember Carol and the children in your prayers during this time. And it's very hard on them. It's never easy, but sudden death like this is very hard. So please remember them. Also, we'll just go ahead and talk about the others. Pray for Patty and Philip. They're both sick, and he'd sent me an email earlier in the week, and of course he'd talk, I guess, to Brother Jeff here, and Brother Jeff Wills is going to be our teacher this morning, and I'm excited. I've never got to hear Jeff teach, so it's good to have you. Okay. Preacher Lastly, I went to see him on Saturday. And I went to see him on Friday. And he's doing okay for, the way that his health is. He recognized me when I come in, so I thought that was good. But he's still having a little problem with some confusion and stuff like that. So he's still trying to figure out what's going on, but he's trusting the right one, because when we prayed before I left, he wanted to pray, and I said, okay. He prayed, and at the end of his prayer, he said, Lord, please help me to know what to do about this. And so he's still trusting God. He's still coming to the Lord for his help. And so just pray for him, pray for Miss Lasley, and there's others that we've been praying for, the people in the cancer list here. Debbie Deacons, Phil says she's still having a rough time. So y'all remember Debbie. And, there's others that are suffering with different things. And so please remember them. And we would like to extend sympathy out to Tracy Kirk. I don't know if y'all know Tracy or not, but she's a lady who comes in on a walker, usually sits back here in the center section, but her mother passed away. She was out at Gray nursing home facility out here, and she passed away on the 21st. So remember Miss Tracy Kirk. There's a lot of people on this list here, and be faithful to pray for them. I know Brother Roger Cox is suffering. Laura Littleford, who had her surgery, is slowly, she's going to have a long recovery, but she's doing okay. And as far as I know right now, and Joe or Larry, if you know any difference, is Hoppy Brown still out of the hospital? Don't know, okay. I know Wednesday night the pastor said that he was out of the hospital, but he may still be doing some testing. So all of these on this list, let's keep them in our prayers. Brother Harold Baskett, as far as we know, is still hospitalized over at Johnson City. Okay. Does anyone else have someone that they need prayer for? Yes, ma'am, Ms. Nancy. Okay. So Miss Nancy talked to Carol Russell yesterday, and she's received a lot of texts and messages and calls, but she's still in shock. She's still trying to process this. So, you know, maybe a phone call or something a little bit later on, or a text or something, would help and encourage her. Okay. All right. This week, let's see, I believe Brother Shaw had a birthday. Is that right, Joe? Well, another birthday for Joe and Miss Nola Smith. I know y'all know Ron and Nola Smith. She had one on 25th yesterday, and then Miss Joyce Howard is having one today. So that's our birthdays, and we want to wish everybody a birthday wish. And then our birthday offering for Jesus is going to end on Wednesday. That'll be the 29th of January. And then those funds are going to be distributed to the four people that was listed in the bulletin. So thank you for all that you've done, give, and I know that God will bless you for that. On Tuesday, there will be a Oasis potluck, and so that's the following week, not this week, but the following week, so remember that. And thank God for his goodness to us, and Brother Troy, it's good to see you in here. Okay. So I guess he's our visitor today. But let's go to the Lord, and we'll give Brother Jeff the rest of the time to teach. Father, we thank you for this day, and God, for your goodness and your mercies to us, Lord. And we thank you so much, Lord, that you're our help. You're our rock. You're the one that we run to. And Lord, when things hit us and we need that security, God, we come to you in prayer, and we ask that you work in our hearts, work in our minds, and Lord, that you give us strength, and Father, you give us comfort there. And Lord, just be with Miss Carol, I pray, and God, help her and her children as they process this death with Brother Larry. And Lord, I just pray for today. I know that things got to carry on. Brother Philip and Brother Patty is sick, and Lord, we just pray for their healing. Pray that you will get them back on their feet. And Lord, for all these others that we've talked about this morning, pray for the cancer patients, Lord, and for these that are in the hospitals and have had surgery. God, we pray that you'll be with them, Lord, and you'll lift them up again. Lord, thank you for Brother Jeff Wills this morning as he come and teaches to us this morning. May you give him that you would have us to hear, Lord, and may it change us, Lord. God, I pray that it'll change us to serve you more. And Lord, then after that, the morning service, we pray for our pastor and pray for all the folks that'll be here, Lord. And if one of them don't know you, dear Lord, I pray that you'll burden their hearts. Today might be the day that they come to you for salvation. We thank you for all these things and pray for your blessings on the service. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Testing.
Okay.
Well, I feel like a robot, this thing around me. I've not had one of these on before.
It looks good on
me. Does it look good on me, brother? Amen. Get my wife to get me one of these for next Christmas. Anyway, it's good to be here with you. I wish they'd make these things taller, but they don't. And I was talking to Brother Talbert, and I don't know if I mentioned it or not, but he's got COVID. He's not feeling very good at all, so he's your Sunday school teacher. Just keep praying for him. I appreciate him calling me and asking me if I would do this. And so I want to talk to you about something today that you're going to say, well, I don't know if that applies to me, but it applies to everyone, and for good reason. The Lord has many verses on this. It doesn't matter if you're older or you're younger, you have problems with this. So I want to talk about that. And I was debating whether I wanted to tell you something funny to start off with, to lead into this, or do something a little more serious. I think I'm going to do something a little more serious, considering what's all been going on here at Poor Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church right now. Larry Russell, just to keep him in your heart. I always liked Larry Russell. I don't know how many of you have ever shook his hand, but he always likes not just to shake your hand, but he likes to bring another hand over. Like, hey, you're the most important person I'm talking to in the room. And I always liked that about Larry. And we're all going to miss him, I'm sure. I'm going to tell you a little story here about and get right into the message because I don't know how long I've got. But we want to tell you a little story about some golfers, four golfers on a golf course. This is actually a true story, true story. Four golfers on a golf course. They're all pretty good golfers. And they got started that day, and one of the men that was playing was having a bad day. His golfing was horrible. And, of course, being good friends and everything, they were teasing him while he was on the golf course. When they got to a pond that they had, and it wasn't even directly in front of them, but they got to a pond to take their next swing, and this guy hit the ball, shanked the ball, and hit the ball right into the pond. And so they teased him a little bit more, but he didn't say a word. He just stopped, picked up his bag, walked towards the pond, lifted the bag up, and he threw his clubs and everything into the pond and just started walking away. His friends were amazed, and they didn't want to say anything. They said, hey, man, did we offend him? Did we hurt his feelings? He usually is not like this. What do we say anything? And he's walking away as if he's going to his car. And they're having a discussion. Well, I don't think we should just start playing as if we don't care about him. And they just kept having a discussion. And next thing you know, he's walking right back towards them. But he doesn't come to talk to them. He goes out to the pond where he threw the clubs in, walks all the way out into the water. The clubs are already down in the water. And he's reaching down there, and he's trying to find it, and he finds his clubs. He takes them back up on the bank, and the water's draining out of it. And he unzips his zipper, and he pulls his car keys out, okay? Sticks them in his pocket. Walks back out into the pond a little further than he was because he's wet already, and takes his clubs and throws them even further into the pond and walks away. Whether he ever played golf again, I do not know. But I want to talk to you about something because many of us have done these kind of things. I want to talk to you about anger today. But I want to take it from several different ways of looking at this, okay? I don't think, you know, I'm older. I don't need to worry about somebody telling me about anger. Well, yes, you do, for several reasons. One, you ever heard that old saying, old and senile. Old people say whatever they want. I work for a place where old people are not afraid to say what's on their mind. And what comes out of their mouth sometimes is horrible. Also, guess what? If you're older, you may have children. You may have grandchildren. You may have great-grandchildren. And they need to hear this. We have a responsibility to our children to help our kids raise them in a lot of ways. We need to give them good input. They need to know that we care about them. And I'll tell you what, we live in a world full of anger, full of anger. So if you're a note taker, I would say take down some of these verses today. I would say sit down with your young ones. Maybe some of them have some anger issues. Sit down with your young ones and go over some of these verses with them and talk to them. And it's a good training tool. It's a good training tool. It shows that you care because they're going to face people that are angry. This tells you how to handle people that are angry. And also, it helps you with your anger problems. If you have anger problems, I get angry every once in a while. But anyway, I want you to turn to James chapter 1, verse 19. James chapter 1, verse 19. James chapter 1, verse 19 says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." This is a formula for dealing with people that get angry. It's a great verse to memorize when we're in situations that are a little bit heated. It says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren," it's talking to every Christian. It's saying, every Christian, let every man be swift to hear. We should be good listeners. Good listeners. Swift to hear. Swift to hear what's going on. Do we know all the things about whatever it is we're going to talk about? Are we going to say something that we shouldn't, not knowing all the facts? It says also, slow to speak. Slow to speak. The idea is here is don't speak at all. Wait till you get the information to speak. Don't speak out of turn. And it says slow to wrath. Slow to wrath. It is important that we don't become angry in an instant. Slow to wrath. We live in a world, like I said, it's angry. One of the reasons I say this is because I have noticed since the invention of the cell phone, and I know we got to have cell phones, people got to be able to call us, but we need to be really, really careful. Cell phones is one of those things where if somebody's on the other line, brother, and you don't like what they're saying, you can text them a message and tell them what you think about them. Guess what? They can't hurt you. They're not there. You can say whatever you want. It's easy to start saying things you want and give somebody your opinion of what you think about them because they can't get to you. He might be 6'4 on the other end of the line, and you might be this little beanpole. And if he was right in front of you, you wouldn't say it. But on a cell phone, you can. He'd probably snap your neck like a little chicken if he was that big. But he can't do that because he's not there. We need to understand that a TV show can't have, it's not really a show unless there's a issue, unless somebody gets mad at somebody in the show. So we live in a kind of a negative world. Proverbs 15:1 says this, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." These are things we can share with our kids. These are things we need to apply to our lives. When I was a junior in high school playing baseball, at that time, I think I was 5-0, and we were going to play a team across town. It was a very important game. Coach Ross said, "Hey, Jeff, you're starting. We need this win." And I got over there, and we started pitching. I started pitching the first 9 innings. I just mowed them down, 3 innings in a row. Everything was going good. The only thing that was going bad was our team wasn't hitting. I didn't even get a hit the first time up to the plate. So came out on the fourth inning, and I started to pitch. And the umpire called every pitch I threw, for some reason, every pitch I threw a ball. I was looking at the coach. looking at the catcher. The coach was asking the catcher, are they strikes? And he was telling him, yes. And I don't know what was going on. So after I filled the bases up with 12 straight balls pitching, I come off the mound, head toward that umpire. He come around the corner and said, you get back on that mound. I says, man, you're blind as a bat. You need to get up behind that plate. You need to get out of here. You're cheating. And their team is horse laughing at me and so forth. And I said, you need to get out of here. You don't need to be umpiring. You need to go get your glasses checked. You need something. Are they paying you to make these calls? And I was just digging into him. Finally, he started walking toward me a little bit further toward me. And I started walking toward him. And the coach comes out and grabs me and says, I need you to get back on the mound. I says, coach, I can't take any more of this. Yeah, he says, I'll tell you what. Go to the bus. So I started walking to the bus. Next thing you know, Coach Ross ran right after him, started ripping him apart. He threw him out of the game. As we were walking, back to the bus, he put his arm around me. I remember this. I was tall, but he had his arm around me. And he looked at me, Jeff, he says, there's something I want you to learn here. I said, I don't know what we can learn from this. He says, you can learn one thing. Life isn't fair. Life isn't fair. And I use that on my children. That story, I remember that story. I think I've told my sons, Jason, Jennifer, and Jared, at one time in their life when something trauma came along, some unfairness came along, I just told them, life isn't fair. Deal with it. We get angry when things don't go our way, when life doesn't seem like it's fair. Whether I was right or wrong in my emotions, which I would gather if I asked all of you individually, you'd probably say I was wrong in the way I acted. But, you know, we have emotions. Emotions is a human, makes us humans unique. It makes us humans unique. In Proverbs 16:32, it says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Do you know what that verse is basically saying? It's basically saying this. And you could tell your children this. This is a good example. You, if you're a Christian and you control your anger and you don't lose your temper, it says you're better than anybody that's ever lived on this planet, that's ever conquered a city, conquered a country, conquered a world. You're better than they are. God thinks is far more important than what man thinks. Just because they're in the history books doesn't mean a whole lot, but what God thinks matters. So controlling our temper is important. I could ask you all a question right now. Have any of you ever gotten angry? I wouldn't want you to answer that. I wouldn't want you to raise your hand. Have you ever gotten angry? We all have. But what this verse is talking about in Proverbs 16:32, and it's a great verse to explain to your kids, your grandkids, it's a great verse to take to heart yourself, is this. What we see here is controlled anger. See, we're allowed to be angry. It's not a sin in every case when it comes to anger, and I'll talk about that more in just a minute. But we have the emotion of being angry. We're made in the image of God. There are all kinds of anger, by the way. But Psalms 37:8 says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Do not seek vengeance. I'll tell you what, my whole life working as an adult, I have met one person after another that wants to gossip about somebody or try to tear somebody down. For some reason, they're angry with them. They're mad at them. And there's all kinds of anger. There's continual anger where you just can't let it go. There's enraged anger. There's unjust anger. There's hot-tempered anger. There's murder anger. There's fierce anger. And on you could go. We know that Cain got mad at his brother. He got angry with his brother and killed Abel. He was mad. He was mad. What about Moses? Moses got angry and struck the rock twice. The thing is that God's pointed it out in the scriptures. Moses got angry. He struck the rock twice when he was only supposed to strike it once. And he lost the privilege to see the promised land. In Ephesians, Paul in 4:26 says, be angry and sin not, and sin not. Anger is an emotion of instant displeasure and belligerence. Anger in itself were sin, then how could God be angry? How could God be angry if anger is a sin? It's an emotion we all have. We are created in his image. And by the way, just to break up the thing, why is it that short people get angrier quicker than tall people? You know why? Because short people can only take it up to here. As tall people, we can take it up to here. Okay? I might hear about that afterwards, but over in Ephesians 4:26, where it says, be angry and sin not, Paul was talking to the Ephesus church, not to sin and not to get angry. What can we be angry about? And the answer to this question is easy. Anything God hates, you can be angry about. But you got to understand, God hates sin. And this is where you can really use this as a teaching tool, because you need to hate things God hates. That way you won't want to do them. There are certain things I can't ever say 100% sure I would never do them, but drugs and drinking alcohol and things are something that I pretty much wouldn't do. I hate liquor, the thought of liquor, homosexuality, I hate the thought of that. Those are things that I don't want to do. But what about the sins that I do do? When am I going to learn to hate them? The Bible says that's where you have to get to if you're ever going to get over something. Swearing. You know, I don't want to swear. But I've heard a preacher once say, if you look in the mirror and look at yourself and examine yourself and get to the point where you hate something that you're doing that you know God doesn't like, if you learn to hate it, you'll quit. A lot of times we go to the Lord and we say, Lord, I did this. I'm sorry I did this. And usually a lot of times with me, it might be anger. I might say, Lord, I got angry about this and I shouldn't have got angry about this. Please forgive me and things. But when am I going to learn to hate being angry? Because I know it can ruin your testimony, and because I know it can cause problems. It's a sin to hate the sinner. Pastor Herman, it's been months ago, he was preaching about the apostles and Christ, and the topic wasn't even, what I got convicted about wasn't even really a big part of the message, but he just said, and some just said it, mentioning it just a little bit, because I was getting a little frustrated in my life because the people that I were inviting to church weren't coming. And I've had a dry spell, and I'm not used to dry spells, and it just seems like it's gotten harder to get people to come to church. Even if they tell me they're coming, I'm not sure I really believe they're coming, but it's been hard. And he mentioned this, and I felt like I wanted to give up, and Lord, I'm just, you know, if somebody comes around and they just fall in my lap, I'll talk to them. And I said, well, I really can't do that. And I was just struggling back and forth. And Brother Herman said, Jesus gave Judas Iscariot every chance to get saved all the way to the cross. But sometimes we get mad at people who are living in sin and living wrong, but we have to understand they don't know Christ. And we tear them down and we get mad at them and we call them names when all they are is they're just lost. They're just lost. And it can eat at us. But we're not even supposed to go that way. We're not supposed to get negative like that. I got under conviction about that. I said, Lord, I just got to have a really, really good attitude about people no matter how they act, no matter how they live. But anger can come in, like I said, different forms. Here are some ways that we get angry. Four things I'm going to I'm going to mention. And four things, if you ever see them in your spouse's life, your life, your children's life, your grandchildren's life, or some friends, four little things here. Here's some ways that we get angry. First of all, when we're never to transfer anger from the guilty to the innocent. Have you ever seen anybody do that? You ever been to a meeting or something, in a business meeting, and they chew everybody out in the room because of what one person did? We had a guy I worked with. He's a little bit older than me, and I won't say where it was at, but we had to have a meeting before every day of work for reasons. And this captain would get up there, and just somebody would do something wrong, one of the people would do something wrong, and she just chewed everybody out like we all did it. And that really didn't set well, going out and starting your day at work. And this guy named Hoot, I can tell you his first name, well, his nickname for a reason, because he's funny as can be. But she'd get done talking, she'd dismiss, and he'd put his head down, he'd go, "The beatings will continue till morale improves." He would say that every single time. Boy, I could see she didn't like it. He did it for weeks because she just kept doing it. He kept saying, "The beatings will continue till morale improves." Finally, she looked at him and says, "Hoot," or she didn't call him that, she called him by his last name. She said, "Upstairs." He looked at her and said, "It's about time." And everybody was behind him. Everybody was behind him and said, "It's ridiculous to chew people out and get mad at people and take things out on other people because of what one person did." And we can do that in our lives. You never want to, you always want to be walking with the Lord. You always want to be serving the Lord. You don't want to miss out on an opportunity to help someone or encourage someone. And you certainly can miss it when you're angry, when you're upset about something, when something doesn't seem fair. The second thing, when you extend your anger and it leads to revenge, that's where you get to gossip. You're angry. If you're gossiping, you're angry about something. You don't like somebody for some reason. And when you extend it and it start attacking other people, God's not pleased with that. Number three, when you flare up without the facts. My wife will tell you I'm pretty good at that sometimes, right, honey? I'll get mad about something, and I'll go, "Why is this going on and everything?" And then she'll explain it to me, and I go, "Well, I feel like a heel." But when you flare up without the facts, just because one of their little grandkids come in there and say, "Billy's picking on me," and everything like that, and then daddy goes back here and whips him and hadn't realized that the little girl just smacked him over the head with a toy, you know, and they don't get all the, sometimes they don't get all the facts. You got to get all the facts. That happens. I've done that before. And this, too, number four, when it's disappropriate to the offense. I remember a pastor 50 years ago using this illustration, and I've never forgot it. Dad's sitting down with wife and all the kids, five kids, and they're eating. And little Johnny, the youngest one, he wants some more mashed potatoes, and he reaches up to get the mashed potatoes, and he spills the milk. And then Dad yells at him, "You're nothing but a klutz!" And he starts to cry. It's disproportional to the offense. And sometimes we can get that way in our lives. We really, 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 I guess is what I'm trying to get at here in this message is as we're teaching, is that we really need to work on our anger. We need to help others with it as well. We have a great responsibility as parents and grandparents and great-grandparents to teach our kids like this, because I believe anger can ruin your life when it comes to a job, when it comes to dealing with people in general, when it comes to service in the Lord's work. Anger is a mean thing. Anger controlled. Ecclesiastes 7:9 says, "Be not hasty in spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools." Excuse me, I'm going to see what I wrote down for my notes here. We all know this. All of us Christians can have a flash of anger. It can sneak up on you sometimes. But if we're walking in the Spirit with the Lord, that's less likely to happen. It's less likely to happen. It doesn't take much to get our eyes off the Lord. But an evil man, he feels the flame. The fire smolders long with an evil man. All of us have probably experienced that. We might have seen somebody act like that. They say, how could they be so mad about something so little? Proverbs 10:19 says, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. And James 3:2 says, for if many things we offend all, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. In many cases, our anger just comes from us working ourselves up in the flesh. There was a businessman driving through the middle of the night, through the mountains, and his car breaks down. His tire goes flat. He gets out. It's pouring down rain. He's having a horrible time. This was before the cell phones. And he's trying to look for his lug wrench, and he can't find it anywhere. And he just gets madder and madder about the whole situation. Finally, he looks over. About a quarter of a mile, he sees a farmhouse lit up. He says, I'll just have to go there, see what I can do. While he's walking over to the farmhouse, he goes, oh man, that farmer's going to be so mad at me. He's going to tell me, what are you doing waking me up in the middle of the night? What are you doing out here? Who in the world do you think you are? And he just started, everything was just building up in him and building up in him. And he had in his mind, he knew what that farmer was going to do. He knew he was going to be disgusted. And when he got to the door, he knocked on the door and the window came open from the top floor, and he says, who's there? And he looked at him and says, he says, you can just keep your lug wrench. I wouldn't borrow a lug wrench from you if you were the last person on the world. He says, you can just have it. And he walked back off to his car. But that's the way we get sometimes. We look that foolish when we get angry. Anger is a mess. Proverbs 14:29. He that is slow to anger is great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. Anger and wrath comes with it, holds people down. One more story and I'm almost done, because I'm just trying to explain something. Four men go to Canada to hunt elk every year. And they did it again. They talked to the pilot into taking them, and they went hunting. And so the pilot agreed to bring back a total of four elk. Each of them could kill one, and he'd fly back in and get them, and that's what he did. He came back and got them. But they killed six. He says, I can't take six. Don't think the plane will make it. We're not going to do it. Four. I told you four. And they all got mad at him, and they all ganged up on him, and eventually they talked him into taking all six. Well, when the plane took off and started flying, the plane was struggling to stay in the air. About a half a mile around, as they got around the big snowbank in the mountain, the plane crashed. They got out to look and see if everything was okay. And they found out that they were all doing well. The pilot was doing well. And one of them asked the other guys, hey, man, where are we? One of the guys looked at him and says, we're about a half a mile from where we crashed last year when we did this. They didn't learn their lesson. When you're angry, you look kind of foolish. You can look kind of foolish. We need to control our anger. There is times to be angry, as I said, but we need to be angry. We need to be angry at the things the Lord is angry about. And certainly, it's not people in general. It's the things people do and the things that we do. And we need to teach our kids this, because children, and I'm just going to be honest with you, most children are not polite anymore. They don't get what they want. They get angry. Homes are being torn apart by Satan. The churches have been attacked by Satan. We need to understand the devil hates the home. He hates the church. He hates Christians. And he's going to do everything he can to destroy us. One lady said she used to count to 10 when she was getting ready to get angry. She'd count to 10. Then she changed it to the Lord's Prayer. You know, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. But I say this, and my challenge is to you in the study here today, is please, if you get an opportunity to use some of these verses and things, talk to your kids. Talk to your grandkids. Our kids, they need to know that anger does not have good consequences when it's done. I've seen so many angry people where I work, and so many people angry about things. We need to be careful. It said, the challenge, I guess, if I could say in here was, let's live holy lives. Let's slow down the anger in our life and maybe somebody in our family's life. May our anger be without sin. We can be angry. It is a unique thing that we have. And the Lord says, be angry and sin not. But folks, we need to be really, really careful. Really careful. I don't know about you. I don't know, maybe you probably, I don't, you know, I, when you're looking at the news, when you're reading a newspaper, when you're dealing with people out there in the world, you see a lot of people bitter and angry. And I don't want my kids, and I don't want my grandkids, and I don't want my, you know, I got a daughter in college, she may get married soon, I may live long enough to be a grandpa, a great-grandpa. I don't want any of them having issues with anger. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you, dear Lord, for the conviction that your verses bring. We thank you, Lord, for your testimony as we read about Jesus in the Bible, how he handled the different apostles and the different people that he came across. And Lord, just help us to have victory in our life, and help us to keep anger out of our lives as much as we possibly can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all.